Welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. So today we're going to talk about dating. We have done a lot of coverage for the folks that have been in longer term relationships. So today I wanted to talk about those that are in the dating pool, and that is at any age. There's people post-divorce, there's certainly young adults, there's people of all ages that are dating. And that definitely has a component of sex life. So, you know, looking at sort of how does that decision get made in terms of who you go out with and how close you get and what do you allow and how do you show up for yourself is what we're going to talk about today. Hi, welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. That is me, and we are here today to talk about dating. So for those of you who are out in the dating world, my questions to you are like, what are your strategies? Now that is like, who do you go out with? How often do you go out with people? You know, when, on which date do you have sex typically? These are some of the questions I asked several of my friends and I've just also had these conversations clinically in the room of what is your strategy? Like, do you have a dating plan of sort? So that can look like, you know, like, do you date multiple people at once? Because that can sound exciting, but actually be quite complicated in terms of managing time and energy and really getting a chance to sort of sit with your feelings and decide how you even feel about this person. So if not, then why? Like, if you're choosing to date multiple people, I have no judgment about any of it. I'm just more unpacking the larger thought process of dating. So if you are dating multiple people, how do you prioritize them? Like, do you put them into, you know, like, I like this person the best, so I'm going to see them more frequently. Also, do you have conversations with your partners about having sex with other people? Because I would hope you would be, if you are in fact having sex with multiple partners, because then everybody is on the same page and understands what's happening and what's expected, and there isn't a big guessing game. Because especially with young adults, I do hear that there's a lot of vagary. There's sort of like, we're hanging out, are we dating, are we exclusive, do I want this to become more, is this just exploratory? Like, there's just so much that's unclear about what's happening between you. And so if one person is on a different page and thinks that this is a more serious relationship, that they might be engaging in sexual contact earlier or more willingly than if they understood that you were also engaging with someone else. So I am a really big fan of communication, and I think sexual expression is wonderful and healthy, but I do like parties to feel like they are, you know, they're getting all the information, so they're making good choices. So my other questions are, so yes, dating multiple people, many people do it early on. I think it's hard to sustain, honestly. It's exhausting getting ready, getting, you know, psychologically ready, getting, putting yourself together, like returning messages, like juggling all of that can be quite a lot for somebody who's also trying to work and have a life and see their friends and do other things. But there is something exciting for a lot of people in dating. There's the novelty, of course, of it being a brand new person that they've never met, that they've certainly never slept with. There's all these things to sort of discover in this new relationship. And we like to say there's also a lot of projection, meaning you're projecting your feelings onto them. So you're also projecting maybe what you think they are and what they represent based on early information. Pretty common and also fine, but eventually, of course, that melts away as you get to know somebody better and have, you know, new information that comes in that is going to therefore cause you to have to sort of recalibrate and learn who they are differently. So it's interesting though, because in early on when people are dating, they come into the room, my clinical room, and they're very excited and they're very hopeful, and you know, they're looking into the other person and wondering like, what's your world? What is your space like? What is your friend group like? What do you like and dislike, and how do we match up? And I see sort of this idea that, you know, there's I think often softer boundaries early on. Like, people are willing to put up with more because of the excitement of and the hope that's in there. As they progress, they tend to return to their more baseline, and so therefore they are maybe less willing to compromise on certain things. I also find that folks that are dating that are older, and that might be, I'm going to say above 40, they tend to have higher standards, I guess, or maybe a little more rigid compromising from the start, because they know themselves. They know what they want. They know this thing hasn't worked out in the past. You know, maybe they're not a morning person, or maybe they love to travel and they don't want to do that alone, or, you know, there's just some non-negotiables that arise. And so they're more discerning, and they tend to sometimes be a little more rigid. That said, I've also worked with clients who are in their 50s and 60s that are dating, and there's a casualness to it because they don't need anybody. They kind of want somebody. They want somebody to be a companion and to have this life that's shared, but they don't need them. And so there's sometimes like a flexibility in how they spend their time with whoever they're dating. There might be an expectation that this person only fills this segment of their life, but they don't have to be their everything. And a lot of young people feel like this person needs to be their everything. So it's kind of an interesting shift that can happen in that way, in the discernment and in the decision making about who do you date? How long do you date? You know, and also, what is your initial feelings about this person? Because I firmly believe that we get so much information about people pretty much right away. Like, when I think back clinically about people that I've first met, when clients come in, like the first 20 minutes of who I meet and how we interact and what I glean from their body language and their what they choose to tell me and how, like, I learned so much, and they give me a glimpse into their long-term, who they're going to be and what they're going to present. So I feel like the dating world kind of happens in that way too. Like, you know, yes, people are nervous in the beginning, and yes, there's also some posturing, and perhaps they put on a game face for the first couple dates. But if you kind of settle into your gut and really pay attention to vibrationally what you're experiencing, even if they're nervous. So they might be a little more neurotic or twitchy or, you know, off somehow, but still you can feel like the essence of the person. Do they make eye contact? Do they listen? How do they talk about their history and themselves? You know, what is the general feeling you have with them? And I think it's important to not focus solely on do they like you, but do you like them? Because oftentimes we are so focused on having the other person like us. Like, are we attractive? What do they think about where we live or how we speak or what we do for work or whatever it is? And instead be really present with, actually, do I like them? Do I find what they do interesting? Do I like how they speak about their family and friends? Do I just have that basic attraction for them physically and also intellectually? Because I do think there is Yes, there is certainly a hotness factor when you first meet somebody. Like, am I physically attracted to you? Like, if I didn't know you, but I saw you from across the room, would I sort of like give you a second look? Yes, there's that piece. But so much of attraction is the interpersonal dynamic. I definitely see that it's how people respond to one another. It's how interpersonally do you make me feel? You know, do I feel attended to? Do I feel important? Do I feel interesting? Do I feel fun when I'm around you? You know, so it's yes, it's how someone looks, but it quickly moves in when there's actually like interaction with one another. It quickly moves into something else. It quickly moves into this sort of mashup of so many things that it's really hard to gauge. Like, I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you initially see somebody's picture and you're like, eh, or you meet them and you're like, eh. And then as you get to know them, they become so much more attractive. And it's because they are, you know, presenting themselves in a way that connects with you. And there's certainly not one way that works for everybody. You know, I would say, there's a vast range of how people interact, and what is attractive is so subjective. But yeah, I think attraction changes with context, more context between you, and starts to click in to this piece of you that's just like, yes. And again, it's some projection, right? This is something that in your history maybe you were missing, or that you feel like you're drawn to somehow. So it's a little bit hard to put your finger on it, especially when you're swiping through online sites, right? So you might get a little more information if you can read their profile, if you're online dating. And then you get a little more information when you talk to them on the phone, if anybody still talks on the phone. I don't think the young people talk on the phone. They text a whole lot. But you know, each of these is layering in information about them and lighting up parts of you that are like, ooh, I kind of like the banter, or I like the intellect, or I like the humor, or they just seem really nice, or whatever is important to you. And it could also be multiple things. I want to talk about a concept, complementarity and similarity. And that it's this dynamic where, like, if you're dating somebody that is similar to you, then you like the same things, right? You both like to go to the farmer's market and get your fresh vegetables on Saturday mornings. So you prize getting up early. You both love your loose leaf tea. You love wandering through the market and getting your stuff, right? Like, you like the same things. Now, if someone is more, you know, complimentary to you, then maybe that's you love getting the vegetables, getting out of bed and running down and doing your market thing, you know, and then your partner actually just loves that you bring home the vegetables and they like to cook, you know, they like sort of something that isn't the same, but that is complementary. And maybe that's they like to meet you at the end of the farmer's market and have breakfast together or something. Maybe they're not an early morning person. So this same concept comes up with sex. We're transitioning because, of course, I'm always thinking about everything and how does sex influence or come into play in this dynamic. Now, with this, if you think about partners, and this comes up a lot with same-sex partners, but it also certainly comes up in opposite-sex partners. If you're similar in what you like, it can be tricky because if you don't like opposite things, then one of you both might like to give a certain thing and neither of you likes to receive it. That's challenging, right? So the similarity piece here can work sometimes to disadvantage, because if you both like to travel, if you both like sports, if you both like dogs, whatever, like you've got these things in common that are really great and helpful, and you get to enjoy those things together. With sex specifically, though, do you like the same things? Or it's sort of like the love language thing of like, this is how you like to participate. And if your partner likes something totally different, then when you show up with the thing you like, they're like, No thanks. So it can be a little tricky. Say you both like giving oral sex. Okay, that sounds like a win-win, except when you both don't like receiving it, or if one of you does and one of you doesn't, because then that leaves a gap. So when you're looking at sort of the dynamic with somebody, I think initially the sameness is attractive because you're like, ooh, we like the same things. We can be friends, certainly. Friends typically like the same things. But then when you go to the more the other side of things, what's complementarity? Like is there, if you're both foodies, does one of you like to cook and one of you loves to clean the dishes or eat, the great food? Like how does it play out in terms of yin and yang? Like are is there a balance to it, or are you both going to sort of want to be in the driver's seat always? Can one of you be a passenger and enjoy it? Because I do see this come up, like I said, with couples and certainly with queer couples, where sometimes both want to be a top or both want to be a bottom. And it's really challenging because then you don't have sort of the cycle, you don't have the full flow. And that can be really challenging. So when you're dating somebody new, people aren't always, first of all, aware of what their likes and dislikes are. They should be, you'd think, but they're not totally aware, or they're aspirational in them. They want something, but they don't actually love it. So it's kind of an unfolding of that information, and it's not like people sit down to a date and hand you a file. Rather, you get to know them over time, more is revealed, and you start to see the bigger picture. What I guess I would say is, can you be more forthcoming? Can you know yourself first so that you can ask for what you want? Ask for what you want physically, ask for what you want logistically, but ask for what you want sexually, because I think that is really important up front. And sex is this slice of a relationship. Like, it's really not the bulk of a relationship, but it's an important slice. And early on, especially, I feel like it's probably got more prominence for couples. And so I do appreciate when, and I guess I tend to see this in couples that are a little bit older when people are dating, that there's less of a reservation about asking for what they want sexually. There's more a knowledge of your body, of your own pleasure profile, your erotic template, and you can ask for that. Now, it doesn't mean that just because you ask for it, it's gonna feel like it felt with someone else, because every combination is totally different. But in general, you know that you tend to like this certain thing, or you might like to explore this other thing. And so I think being forthcoming about that can be really powerful. I did want to return to I had talked to a couple different gals and explored some of the I guess the approaches to dating, and I wanted to share those with you. So one of my friends had mentioned that there's like three approaches she takes to dating, 'cause she dates, different people and she's been dating for years. The first is she calls it recreation. So, in kind of the leisure recreation category of things, she's sort of like a take it or leave it. She says, like, I'm just kind of like, okay, I'll take a free meal, I'll meet somebody, I'll see what it's about. Probably more easily hook up with them because it just doesn't matter. I'm not really particularly, like attached to the outcome. And so there isn't like all this hope leading into it. It's sort of like, we'll see what it is. And she also described this as like skipping, because we put little athletic things next to each. And so that's dating for recreation. Category two is dating for sport. And she described this as more intense. during this type of dating, there's more intention. So you're paying attention, you're showing up with a little more authenticity. There isn't sort of a laissez-faire. There's more of a, you know, what are we doing here? And is this moving forward? And she paralleled that to like an eHarmony for an online service, or even hiring a matchmaker. Like if anybody has done that, where you're like, okay, let's be practical. Here's what I know I want, or I think I know that I want, and I'm going to actually enlist a recruiter in the way of a matchmaker to find somebody that can make this happen for me. And she said, this is more of a walk. Like the first was skipping. This is more of like a walk in the world of things. The third category is love, romance. You're going into this fully intentional, right? That there is definitely, you're looking for love. You're looking for companionship, partnership, long-term, more satisfying. And she didn't actually give me a physical comparison for this. I would say it's like slow dancing, maybe, right? It's a little more sensual. It's more connected. It's working together in a dance of, you know, back and forth. And so all three, again, in my opinion, are fine. And, you know, maybe you've kind of gone back and forth, but like, how are you choosing to show up when you're dating? And how does that influence how it moves forward? And also, how does that influence how you show up sexually? Like, I would imagine in the recreation category that it's play and it just sort of is what it is and it ends how it will and it, you know, it doesn't really matter. Whereas as it gets increasingly more serious, there might be some intentionality about how you talk about your needs or how you meet someone else's requests. There's more follow through. There's maybe more tenderness in the romance, certainly, category, where I would say, ironically, it's actually probably more vulnerable to show up that way and to really speak up about what's important because, you know, there's a risk of loss and there was maybe an expectation of continuing. And so, you know, early sex is often really exciting because it's just like mainline of some fear and some giddiness of like what's coming, but also it's awkward. It tends to be awkward because you don't know each other very well. You don't know your body. You don't know their body. You don't know if you're ready to really let go and be, you know, totally vulnerable and ecstatic in your expression and in your, you know, in your eroticism. So I feel like a lot of couples harken back to the early days, like how great it was the first 6 or 12 months of their relationship sexually. But that always changes. It's just part of the natural cycle and evolution of relationships. And yet dating gives you an opportunity to sort of return to that newness and sow your oats a little bit. So it's all kind of interesting. So we don't specifically talk about dating in the pleasure circle. So that's my small group 6-week adventure that I do a couple times a year. But we do talk about how you show up for others, how you show up if you're newly dating, how you're showing up in your longer term partnership, and what do you like, and what informs what you like, what enhances what you like. All of that is part of the conversation. And there's probably things you've never thought about that influence your erotic template, meaning what you like and what you want, right? Sometimes it feels like somebody just gets it and it's really easy with them. Now you might not be able to live in a long-term relationship with that person, but sex is really easy. And then on the flip side, there's someone who you enjoy so much, and yet it's hard to physically find your synchronicity. So part of that is removing some of the obstacles. And we definitely talk about that in the pleasure circle, is like, what are your personal obstacles? Because they're different for everybody. And how might you communicate those to your partner? So yeah, dating is interesting. I do appreciate that the stigma of online dating has lifted. I will disclose that I met somebody online dating, gosh, it's probably been about 15 years ago, maybe even longer. Right when it was first coming out, I went on Match.com, and there used to be one called Chemistry.com. And oh man, there was a lot of stigma related to it then, but that has since gone away. And I'm so glad, because it really helps people find each other in different markets and busy people that don't want to go to the bars or don't want to meet people, you know, don't know how, have other ways to meet people. So I think it's a good option. So I would love to hear your feedback on this or other podcasts. And if you have ideas for topics, please share them. And if you are interested in working together through the Pleasure Circle, please reach out to me. So I hope you've found this helpful, and I'll talk to you soon.